This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Kip Allen.
And I'm Roland Lettner.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod participated in a landmark ecumenical summit on the biblical teaching on marriage and sexuality along with the Anglican Church in North America, the Lutheran Church Canada, and the North American Lutheran Church.
Christians know that God expects us to help the helpless, and Lutherans are doing just that in one of the poorest countries in the world. I'll tell you about the Missouri Synod's efforts in disaster-stricken Haiti.
I had the privilege this year of representing two bishops at the same time.
All coming up on World Lutheran News Digest, after our Fast Track.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has approved an initial $100,000 in emergency grant funding to the LCMS Oklahoma District to help meet tornado relief needs following the devastation of a recent tornado in the state. John Folley, Associate Executive Director of the LCMS Mercy Operations Group, was on site in Moore, Oklahoma, and is encouraging those who want to give to go through the Synod's General Disaster Fund. There's a link on this week's World Lutheran News Digest page under Fast Track Stories.
The executive director of Lutheran Hour Ministries, Bruce Werdemann, has announced he will retire from his position at the end of 2013. Werdemann has worked at Lutheran Hour Ministries for many years, and before taking the executive director's position, had been the director of United States Ministries for LHM. A search for Werdemann's successor is now ongoing. Applications for the position will be accepted through June 15th. Werdemann has been the executive director for Lutheran Hour Ministries since 2009.
Concordia University, Nebraska is hosting author, educator, and teacher Cindy Middendorf for an early childhood conference called Step Into My World, a conference for teachers and aides involved with education of students from birth to age 8, including child care providers, pastors, DCEs, and child ministry directors on Wednesday, June 12th. Middendorf taught kindergarten and has been ministering to children in a teaching role for 30 years. There is information at the Concordia University, Nebraska website.
The Lutheran Church of New Zealand will be meeting under the synodical theme of Where Love Comes to Life next weekend in Auckland at Botany Lutheran Church. The LCNZ is both a church body itself and a synodical district from the Lutheran Church of Australia and will be hosting members of the Board for Missions, Board for Lay Ministry, the LCA Asian Ministries Coordinator, as well as the outgoing leader of the LCA, Reverend Dr. Mike Semler, and incoming Bishop John Henderson.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. இது லோக லூத்ரன் வார்த்தா பரிவாடி ஆகணும். யா விஷ்வ லூத்ரன் சமாச்சார் ஹே.
The nation of Haiti is the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. It's racked with disease, illiteracy, corruption, and poverty. If those burdens weren't enough, a magnitude 7 earthquake struck it on January the 12th, 2010. This disaster killed more than 300,000 people, and it left another 1.5 million homeless. Workers from the Missouri Synod were on the scene within 3 days, according to Pastor Glenn Merritt, director of LCMS Disaster Response.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod responded immediately, and within 3 days, we were on site, on the ground, working with our partner, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti.
The needs of the Haitian people were too numerous to mention, but some needs were life-threatening and had to be immediately addressed.
We provided thousands and thousands of dollars worth of immediate aid, including food, water, temporary shelter, blankets, all of those things that were needed so that people could sustain life.
One of the most pressing needs was for shelter. Lucky survivors had a tent. Many others simply lived in the open. Merritt says that the Synod came up with a solution to provide more substantial temporary shelter for some that could be assembled in just a matter of hours.
And we were able to meet that need by shipping in some 330 temporary wooden homes that could be assembled.
There was no shortage of Christian volunteers to help, including American seminarians.
Laborers for Christ and students from Concordia University System assisted us in putting up those homes.
The rebuilding continued. The Synod established more than just some temporary shelters. It built communities.
But in each one of those locations in the village, we were able to add a school, a church, a medical clinic, and also common areas where the kids could play and people could gather in the evenings.
Through work and planning, many temporary shelters were turned into permanent housing that was given to families in need. Merritt says that the gratitude of the Haitian people was humbling.
When we finally had reached the stage of building permanent homes and were able to offer those to people who were in need through an application process, but award them to people who were in need, particularly people that had young children, families still at home, the tears of joy and the expressions of gratitude to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they named us by name, were just overwhelming.
Lack of food, water, sanitation, shelter. Survivors faced all these problems, but those were problems of the body. Merritt says he saw other, deeper problems, problems of the spirit facing the Haitian people.
It became apparent to us immediately after the earthquake that there was a great spiritual void in Haiti.
According to the World Factbook, about half of Haiti's population practices some form of voodoo. The people saw that relief, both physical and spiritual, came from Christianity, not voodoo, and they responded accordingly.
In that void, they turned to Christians because they saw that Christians were reaching out, providing those essential things, life-giving things, and also providing for them the spiritual care that they needed.
This spiritual need is being met. The Missouri Synod is partnering with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti to develop a seminary curriculum and a seminary building so that Haitians can be trained as Lutheran pastors in their own country.
This tragedy provided a unique opportunity for us to partner together with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti and to develop a seminary curriculum and to actually build a seminary building to address the great spiritual need in Haiti at this time.
Merritt says that the Haitians were not the only ones who benefited from this effort. He and other workers also received a reward.
The most exciting thing for me was to watch hundreds, even thousands of people gather in makeshift worship facilities and line up to be baptized, line up to hear this good news of the gospel, stand outside in the blazing sun just so they could hear one word of hope.
Lutherans saw a need and responded as Christians. They donated more than $5.6 million and sent many volunteer relief workers. They helped construct temporary and permanent housing, medical clinics, clean water and sanitation facilities, and supported orphanages. Lutherans took to heart the word of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." For World Lutheran News, I'm Kip Allen.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. Это всемирные лютеранские новости.
I'm Roland Lettner reporting for World Lutheran News Digest. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod participated in a landmark ecumenical summit on the biblical teaching on marriage and sexuality along with the Anglican Church in North America, the Lutheran Church Canada, and the North American Lutheran Church. The summit was the pinnacle effort of several years of dialogue with other church bodies. The Reverend Dr. Joel D. Landbauer was a participant in the summit and serves as Executive Director of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The LCMS has been meeting with leaders of the Anglican Church in North America, a rather young Anglican church that formed in reaction to some far-left positions of the Episcopal Church. And we've also been meeting with the North American Lutheran Church, another young Lutheran church body that came out of the ELCA. Both of these new emerging churches really left their mother churches because of positions taken on moral issues like homosexuality. And so we've been engaging in dialogue with both of those churches. And the Lutheran Church Canada has also been joining us because both of these young church bodies have congregations in Canada who are interested in developing relationships.
With several states approving gay marriage amendments and with cases pending before the Supreme Court of the United States, the time was right to seek common ground.
We decided in these separate dialogues that it might be beneficial to come together in a common dialogue around issues that concern us all, and one of the issues that came to mind and was at the forefront was the issue of marriage. And so, I don't know, about 9 months ago or so, we decided that it would be good to all have a joint meeting around the issue of marriage. We decided to do that in Dallas at the facilities of a large Anglican congregation in Dallas. And we recruited Mark Galley, who is the editor of Christianity Today and also now an Anglican, to come in as a keynote speaker. We invited, you know, lay people, Lutherans, Anglicans, to come and listen to him. But we also met behind closed doors to come up with a statement on marriage that would bring together common convictions that we all had about this issue.
The Ecumenical Summit's discussions came together in a statement of common belief.
The purpose of the statement was really to, in a succinct way, help people understand that even though as church bodies we might not agree on everything, there are certain core fundamental moral and social issues about which we can make common cause and speak together with one voice.
But historically, North American churches have found it difficult, in spite of common teaching on issues like marriage, to affirm common ground.
We weren't totally positive that we could do that at this meeting, and we hoped we could, but it would have been possible, I guess, for us to say, well, we gave it a shot, but we feel like we need to do a little more thinking about this before we can do that. But we coalesced around this statement fairly quickly, and it's only a page and a half long or so. We tried to say it in a fairly concise way, but all of us were able to sign off on it, and then we sent it on to the heads of churches of each of these church bodies who weren't part of the dialogue itself, and we're very pleased that all four heads of churches were able to give their amen to it. And so the statement, when it will be released in a day or two, will have all of their signatures too, and we're very pleased about that.
A remarkable achievement in and of itself. The statement is intended to serve a purpose well beyond a simple press release.
I think in a case like this, and a statement can have any number of different audiences, and even as we were crafting the statement, we were thinking about this. The statement really is more geared toward people in our own church bodies. It's not a statement, let's say, to be sent to Congress or to the Supreme Court. It's not really geared toward the public square audience so much, but it's really meant as a statement of encouragement and affirmation that our own people could get behind and support. And I think each of our church bodies intends to mainly use it in our own circles as something that could be sent to our congregations and say, here's a summary, first of all, of what our church believes. It's not just what our church believes, but look at these other church bodies, one of which isn't Lutheran, that can say the same things that we say. And I think our people kind of need that kind of encouragement these days. Are we really standing up for these values like we hope we are? And who else is speaking with us on this subject these days?
Not commonly known as a politically active church body, this statement may signal a new attitude of engagement for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Well, I think it is a little new. I mean, we've been very consistent over the years, of course, in our positions on issues like this, and you can find statements that go back a long ways. But in some ways, we haven't felt it necessary to do this because when it comes to an issue like marriage, it's only really fairly recently that an institution like this has been under such clear attack from other societal forces. But I think we've also done some growing up as a church body and realizing that in this day and age, church bodies have to speak up a little bit if they want to be heard. And we have been somewhat quietistic, I think, historically in this area, and that is changing. You'll see that we're realizing we need to let people know where we stand as a church body on these issues. We're continuing our dialogue with each of these churches on separate tracks, and right now we have plans for a couple of more years' worth of dialogues with specific topics, but we're also planning at least one more summit around more public issues, and the next one that we're planning will deal with life issues. That's another issue where we both have very parallel sorts of positions. And really, a lot of hope was expressed at this last summit that we could do this more frequently. So we're very hopeful that more can be done, but we haven't sketched out a specific plan beyond the one around sanctity of life issues.
The joint statement regarding the affirmation of biblical teaching in marriage may be viewed at the website for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, lcms.org, and by typing marriage into the search box. I'm Roland Lettner for WLN Digest.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Snail armor, tough as nails.
This is Ken Ham, head of the ministry building a full-size ark near Cincinnati. You know, the sea snail has an incredibly unique way of producing armor for itself. It actually combines two brittle ingredients that would never be considered for armor to make an incredibly tough shell. You see, the sea snail's shell is made up of tiles. They are stacked in the shape of cones, and between the cones are flexible bridges. Now, when a predator tries to bite the snail, these remarkable bridges absorb the force. Now, the snail's shell is so effective that researchers are finding ways to copy its design for other uses. For example, scientists have developed new ways to produce 3D structures based on the shell's design. The sea snail is a great testament to the genius of our Creator.
You'll find out more about the intricate design of God's creation when you visit our fascinating website, AnswersInGenesis.org. You'll be encouraged at AnswersInGenesis.org.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
The Lutheran Church in Europe differs in numerous ways from the Lutheran Church in North America or Africa. Over the past 500 years, the entities that oversee the church triumphant in Europe are called into question. Such is the case with Lutherans in Scandinavia over the past several years, as many who identify as being confessional Lutherans grew increasingly aware of a shift in doctrinal adherences that left many puzzled about whether their European churches were Reformed, Lutheran, or simply a state-run body trying to hold on to the Reformed label. More recently, however, confessional Lutherans have been banding together. The Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland is one of those church bodies, and this year became an independent church. It recently installed a new bishop, Risto Soramis, to lead its members. Reverend Dr. Wilhelm Torgerson grew up in Canada, served as a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany, and is currently teaching at Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Because of his ties to two major Lutheran church bodies, he attended the event in Helsinki, Finland.
I had the privilege this year of representing two bishops at the same time. The bishop of the Canadian church, Dr. Bagby, and then when the German bishop found out, Bishop Volk, that he couldn't go, that he had too many pressing engagements, he said, Torgi, why don't you also represent me? And so I brought two letters to them, one in German and one in English from Canada. So it was an interesting thing. I was absolutely fascinated that I had taken that journey. The confessional Lutherans are having a tough time for some time now in Scandinavia in general. It started out really bad in Sweden and got worse, but now finally it caught up with the Finnish so-called Lutheran state church. And some of these people have decided we can't take this anymore. We never changed our theology. We tried to be faithful to the scripture and the confessions, and yet the leadership of the church, all the bishops without exception, there was one who was still confessional, but he retired a couple of years ago, and now all the pastors that think the church ought to abide by scripture and the confessions are being downright persecuted. And so finally they said, we need our own ecclesiastical structure. And originally, the Finns, too, were part of the mission province that had begun in Sweden. But now they decided, several Lutheran confessional groups, they're usually called mission societies in Finland, they got together and said, we have to have our own Bible-believing leadership. And so now they decided, upon the retirement of the Bishop for Finland, to elect and install their own confessional Lutheran bishop for the mission province or the Lutheran mission province of Finland. And it's an interesting man. He was for several decades a missionary among the Turks in Germany. So he speaks Turkish fluently, talks German fluently. And then about the last 10 years, or 10 years ago, he founded a Turkish Lutheran church in Istanbul and was the pastor there. So obviously he knows what it is like to do mission among Muslims. And as I said, a tremendous person, interesting to talk to, and I think this, obviously the Holy Spirit showed the Finnish Lutherans whom to put into that position of leadership. I'm really glad for them. And one other thing I briefly indicated, in both services that I attended that weekend, on Saturday, the bishop's installation, on Sunday, the regular worship at St. Mark's congregation, I have never in any kind of Lutheran church anywhere in the world seen so many young people attend what some people no doubt would refer to as a high church service. Young people, at least 60% in both cases, were young families with many children. I was just flabbergasted. I'm deeply grateful that I could see this and experience this. And it, by the way, it goes to show that this cliche, young people want, what's the word, razzmatazz music, and they're not into liturgy and that sort of thing. Well, it did not apply to these instances.
Dr. Torgerson says looking at the differences between European church structures, where the state has traditionally played a part in how the church is run, the younger members find the confessional church attractive. This is not the case for all congregants.
By the way, it's an interesting reaction. When the older people in the mission province have not left the state church, it's a bit difficult for us who are real Free Church Lutherans to understand, but their reasoning is, I think, valid. They say, why should I leave the church? I didn't change my theology. And the Church of Finland was always based on Bible and the confession. So I didn't leave it. The bishops left it. And so they have no intention, or at least not now yet, to officially leave the church. Now, the young people, that's different. They never grew up in the state church from the beginning, or at least most of them, from the beginning were raised in this confessional Lutheran environment. And they've not had that many connections with the liberal, modernistic state church.
Very interesting. That's something that we don't actually know about over here in North America.
We have a different kind of surrounding here. You know, okay, I don't like it, so I go to another church, and then you leave the one you were at, or that sort of thing. That's not the European model. In fact, it's a challenge to all the confessional Lutheran churches in Europe. I know it from my own church in Germany. People kept asking, Zelk, that's the German abbreviation for our church, the acronym, Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church. They say, what kind of church is that? What do you teach differently? And we always said, nothing. We teach what we know from the Reformation to be the truth, derived from the Bible and set forth in the Lutheran confessions. We're not teaching anything different.
Pastor Torgerson said the confessional Lutheran church bodies take the scriptural approach, a basic Lutheran theology, and apply it across the board. That included the special event for the installation of Risto Sormes as the bishop for the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland.
Yeah, it was a very high liturgical, beautiful service of Holy Communion. The retiring bishop of the Finns was the chief consecrator, but assisted by the bishop of the Swedish mission province, Roland Gustafsson, and by the bishop of the small Norwegian Lutheran confessional church, Bishop Witt, W-I-T-H. And of course, Sormes himself being the installee. A lot of singing, a lot of liturgy, It was a very, very uplifting thing. The chapel of the Mission Society, Sacred Heart Chapel, was packed to the gills, in fact, overflow crowd. About 500 people were there. And you could feel a sense of, now we're going to get going. We now have good leaders. We're all on the same page. This is the nice thing about it, that apparently everybody, at least the ones that I talked to, and my general impression was, people knew why they were there and why they were doing what they were doing. It wasn't just, you know, a big family affair or something like that. It was basically a very theological get-together that culminated in the installation of a new leader.
Now, in an alliance with the Mission Province in Sweden and also the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese in Norway, which was also established this year, Confessional Lutherans in Finland now officially have a church home, with 30 churches and 37 pastors.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
And now a laugh for Lutherans.
Lutherans don't laugh.
It was Palm Sunday, but because of a sore throat, 5-year-old Johnny stayed home from church with a sitter. When the family returned home, they were carrying several palm fronds. Johnny asked them what they were for. People held them over Jesus' head as he walked by, his father told him. Wouldn't you know it, Johnny fumed, the one Sunday I don't go, and he shows up.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, write to WLN Digest, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri 63105, or email news@KFUO.org.